All right, well, listen, I'm going to give you a short recap before I ask you to stand out of reverence for the word. But as we have been going through our study, we did meet a month ago. And the last time that we were in the scriptures, we began the section on marriage. Before we jumped into the role of the wife, I laid the foundation of God's design for marriage. And it was important for us to begin there. Marriage is the union, the coming together of a man and a woman in a lifelong commitment as husband and wife. This is God's design for marriage. He also placed a specific order for the family based upon 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Here is the order. God is over all authority. The man is under the authority of Christ. The woman is under the authority of her husband. And then the children are under the authority of the parents. This is the structure. And though this is the order that God has placed, please, beloved, hear me out. The husband is not greater than his wife. They are equal partners. And I want us to understand, though we're equal in partnership in this family, we do have different roles that God is asking us to fulfill. So in verse 22, Paul exhorted the wives to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. And yes, ladies, I use that S word, submit. God's calling for the wives is to willingly yield to the authority of their own husbands. And Lord willing, through that study, there was a clear understanding that biblical submission is based upon order, not value or abilities. It's important that we understand this. Because in our time, in our culture, whenever somebody says submission, it's a sign of weakness. But God, in biblical submission, it is not slavery. It is not a sign of weakness. But when wives are submissive to their husbands, it is out of reverence for the Lord, out of fear for the Lord, and they walk in obedience to the Lord by submitting to their husbands. And so the wife's role is basically to come alongside her husband, and be that comparable helpmate that Genesis tells us. She is to come along his side and help him be the leader that God has called him to be, to support, to encourage, and to respect him as the leader of the home. Now, I just shared bullet points, and I could see the steam already rolling up in some of you. So I want to encourage you, go back, watch the full service, so that you can get a better understanding of those bullet points that I just shared. But we will pick up now in our study as we look at the next section. And so if you could please stand with me out of reverence, we're going to begin in chapter 5, and we're going to start. Here we go. Are you ready? Wives, submit to your husbands. Amen. Y'all a little slow this morning. We're not going over that section again. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. Once again, Lord, we thank you for this morning, and I pray, help me get out of your way, and that you would just be our teacher this morning. Bless this service, bless your word, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Paul, through the Holy Spirit, now addresses the husbands in this next section. And men, I want you to notice with me that Paul has a lot more to say to the husbands than he did to the wives. And the reason why is because we are responsible for how we will lead our family. Remember with me, men, that God is the one who has placed us as the leader of our homes. And as the great prophet Uncle Ben from Spider-Man says, with great power comes great responsibility, okay? Being a leader of your home is much more than just being the provider. It is much more than just caring for the physical needs. We are responsible for the spiritual well-being of our wives and our kids. So it's much more than just bringing home the money. What are some of the reasons husbands struggle to lead? For some men, they don't know their role as a husband. They have never seen it modeled. They were never trained to be a man or a leader. And so maybe some of them grew up in a time, which is very common back in, you know, when I was even growing up, back in the 70s, right? But I can recall dad worked and mom took care of the home. And there was nothing, no other interaction that I could see as a child. For some, they may lack confidence and fear of failure. There are men today who have a on-the-job attitude. When it comes to their role as a husband, just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. They have no desire to make any decisions or be held responsible for them. For some, they have tried, but past mistakes were met with negative criticism such as, I can't believe you did that. Or, what were you thinking? Whenever a sharp or belittling comment will come, it can cripple a husband from wanting to lead. Despite these challenges, men, this is what I pray that you would understand. We need to remember whatever God has called us to do, He is the one who enables us. He is the one who will empower us to be the leader. One of the things that is important, Philippians 1:6 says, He will be faithful to complete the work that He started in you until the day of Christ Jesus. God is not done with you. He is not done with me. We all need to continue to grow as leaders of our home. And so the first thing that I pray we would do is that we would learn from God in how to lead. And so the first command that Paul gives through the Holy Spirit is found in verse 25. Husbands are commanded to love their wives. And I love this about the scriptures. The Holy Spirit did not leave this command up to our own interpretation. He gave us an example in how we're to love our wives. Notice the words, just as, could also be read in the same way that Christ loved the church. So the first question we as men need to ask is, well, how did Jesus love the church? Again, looking at verse 25, He gave Himself for her. Jesus demonstrated His love for the church by laying down His life for the church. When I covered this last week or a month ago, when I covered the role of the wife, one lady approached me after the service. And she said, okay, Pastor, I heard you. We are called to submit. And then she said, but you husbands are called to die. And then she went walking off. It's true. I couldn't say anything, right? And so one of the things that I pray we would see is that God used the highest level of love in the Greek language for the husbands to fulfill. This is a challenge. You can have the most amazing husband, but he will not be perfect in loving you unconditionally. And one of the things that I pray is that this word love here is agape or agapeo. It's a love that is selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional. Agape love seeks the highest good for another and chooses to love even when your spouse doesn't deserve it. It's based upon a choice. Human love, worldly love, is all based upon conditions. Ladies, if you ever come across a man who says, I love you because, that's a red flag. What happens when the because is no longer there? Will they still love you? You want the type of person that says, I love you just because, not because of. There's a big difference. So for us as the husbands, God commands us to love our wife in the same way that Christ has loved the church. And though we may be the leaders of the home, we're not to lead with an iron fist. You know, don't go around with a t-shirt that says El Jefe, okay? Don't do that. Don't walk around with a card in your wallet I'm the leader. Don't do any of that. Husbands have been called to love their wives sacrificially. And let me give us how. Let us see how Jesus loved. Out of love, Jesus was willing to humble himself. He came into this world, he created and served his creation. And he gave his life, it says in the scriptures, as a ransom for many. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. So God is commanding us to love our wives in this same way. Notice what Philippians chapter 2 tells us. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. So husbands, we need to understand something about sacrificial love. It is selfless. Sacrificial love is the main ingredient that will hold everything together in your marriage. Selfish love will destroy it. A selfish love, again, is only concerned about what am I getting out of this marriage. A selfish love will begin to start saying, when they take their eyes off of Jesus, you are no longer meeting my need, and then they start looking elsewhere to meet that need. I hope and pray that we as men will never allow that to happen. I pray that we would continually remember the same way that Jesus loved the church is our responsibility to love our wives. And the way that we love them sacrificially is simple. Easy to say, but maybe hard to do. But the simple instructions are, set aside your own needs for the sake of loving your wife, for caring for her. How about this? Be willing, listen, to do those extra things even though you may have worked all day long. When we as husbands lead with sacrificial love, I guarantee you this, all of the other things that are happening in your marriage will fall into place. I love the fact that when we look at this, it gives us a very simple instruction. Be sacrificial. But I also want to warn the wives. There is a big difference between needs and wants. Do not hang this over your husband. You need to meet my needs. You need to do this. You need to get me that, 4,500 square foot house instead of the 1,200 foot we're living in. I need more bedrooms to clean. There is a difference between needs and wants. And I also want to remind both husbands and wives, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us that true love does not seek its own. It is not selfish. Men, my encouragement to us is choose to seek the highest good for your wife. Yes, we're called to be the provider, but I also want to challenge us to be the servant leaders of our home. Sacrificial love is not just words, it's action. Let me say that again. Sacrificial love is not just words, it's action. How else are we called to love our wives? The answer is found in the next few verses, 26 and 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, and that he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now the word sanctify here means to set apart. Again, looking at Jesus' example, he came into this world for what purpose? To deliver us, to save us, to set us apart for God's personal use. I want to encourage you, write down this scripture reference, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Jesus came specifically to set us apart from this world, from Satan, from the penalty of sin, so that we can be of God's personal use. Jesus also came into this world, and his primary ministry was to preach the word, to preach about the kingdom of God. Why? Because we all know that faith comes by what? Hearing. It is so important that we understand, just like water cleans our bodies, cleans our clothes and our dishes, it is the word of God that cleans us from the spots and the stains that we've collected from the sins that we've committed. I believe it's in Isaiah chapter 1. I could be wrong, but please forgive me if I am. But it talks about how stained we were, that our sins were like scarlet, like red. But yet, because of God, they can become white as snow. It is amazing to me when I think of all the things that God has forgiven us of. But we also know that it's through the word of God, listen carefully, that renews our minds and who Jesus is. As the Holy Spirit is within us, and as we take in God's word, listen, when we discover God's goodness, it is amazing how our life changes, our perspective changes to what we thought we needed to what matters most. And I love the fact that God's word is what renews our minds, change our thinking of who Jesus is and the direction that we're going in life. God's word leads us to repentance. I also like the fact that God's word helps us to know God's will and, listen carefully, how to say no to sin. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11 tells us that we are to take heed of the word of God. We're to hide his word in our hearts so that we may not sin against him. And of course, God's word will guide us through this life now and the life to come. Psalm 119, verse 105. I am super blessed that God has given us this amazing love letter to see of his goodness and love, but it is also a pattern for us as husbands to love our wives. Because Jesus said, I've done all of these things to present my church holy and without blemish. One of the things that I pray, husbands, as we're hearing this, it is our responsibility, again, to be the spiritual leaders of our home. And I have a question for us. Are we spending time in the Word with our wives? Are we spending time praying with them? Are we encouraging them to grow in their relationship with the Lord? How many of us were encouraging our wives to be a part of the ladies' tea or the one-day conference that they have or the Bible studies that they do? How many of us have encouraged our wives and their desires in serving the Lord? Because I hope and pray that we're being a help and an encouragement and not a hindrance. And I'm not here to judge anybody. This is a message for me as well. I can be very transparent with you that there'll be many days when I can be here for 12, 14 hours and I'll receive phone calls. People will come walking through these doors and I'll sit and I'll have patience. But when I get home, my wife gets the short end of the stick. I'm not as patient and just get to the point. Can I eat my dinner? Why aren't you talking to me? I've talked all day long, babe. I hate hearing my voice. I can fail. Are we being that spiritual covering? And if not, my encouragement to us all, it's time to start. Because it is our responsibility. It's what God's calling us to do. And the moment we take our eyes off of Christ, self comes up. And self and pride will always keep us from fulfilling God's role that we have as a husband. Come back to the truth. Whatever God has called us to do, he will enable us to do it. We got to lean on him. In the next few verses, Paul is going to use another example on how to love our wives. Notice this, verse 28 and 29. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. I didn't spend any time making any slides for this one because I think it's pretty self-explanatory for us men. We know how to take care of ourselves. We know how to love ourselves well. Men, what do you do when you're hungry? You can talk to me. Thank you. You don't blink a second. You're just like, I'm hungry. If there's no food, we go buy food. We have no problem with feeding our flesh. How about this? When you find something that you enjoy doing, husbands, how many hours do you spend watching videos? Maybe you're watching a video on how to improve that golf swing of yours. How about videos of fishing? What kind of bait to use? What style of technique do you use? Where to fish with this kind of bait? You could spend hours and hours. What does this fish finder do? How about this? Many of you spend hours and hours knowing the stats of your fantasy football teams and don't have a clue about what your wife likes for dinner. We take time to figure things out. And it's in the same way that we do those things that we are to care for our wives. We have been called to love them and to care for them. And here is the truth. This is not a threat. This is just simple truth. If we don't love and care for our wives, Satan will have more. He will be more than happy to find a man who will. And I pray that we would not allow that to happen. I pray that we would be men who are just as involved as we were when we were courting our wives. All the things that we did for them prior to us saying, I do, that we would get back to them. How else are we to love our wives? Look at verse 30 to 32. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I'm just going to read verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you particularly so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Husbands, we have been called to cherish and to value the gift that God has given you. We are to love our wives because of the vows that we made on the day that we got married. On your wedding day, the vows that we exchanged, listen carefully, were not a contract. It was a covenant. Some of you might wonder, what's the difference? Contracts are performance-based and can be terminated if one part fails to uphold their end. While a covenant is a relational commitment-based agreement built on promises, devotion, and unconditional love, there is a huge difference. And on the day that we got married, we made a commitment before God. We made a promise to God and to all those who were standing there celebrating on this day that we would forsake all others for our spouse. Did you guys hear that? The total deep definition in the Greek of the word all is all. That's pretty deep. We are to forsake all others and we're to love our wife. Notice this, for better or worse. We're to love our wives even if they're not lovable. Life can be messy. But we're to love through the mess. Pastor Steve, who's been a part of this church for many years, I love his sayings at times if he's in here. If he's not, you can tell him later. But he has this saying. I'm going to try and repeat him, or mimic him. Ministry is messy, baby. So can marriage be. But we're to love each other in the good times and the bad times. How about this one, for richer or for poor? I remember watching a video of a bride stopping the pastor. Can you just only repeat the first word? I don't want to hear anything about being poor. Are you willing to love your spouse in the times when you have plenty? And in those times when it's only rice and beans? Are we willing to love each other in sickness and in health? Listen, it's crazy when you think of, you know, our bodies, and you know, we're getting older. We're discovering things hurt more. Some of us, when we go to the barber, they spend more time on our ears and our nose than they do on our head. It's true. Cancer, whatever, there's so many things, peanut allergies, all of these things. Are we going to remain faithful to each other when we need each other the most? We've been called to cherish till death do us part. So no matter what life brings, I'm challenging us as men today to be a man of your word. You spoke those vows. It's time to fulfill them. We can't do anything about yesterday, but what we can do is what happens today and tomorrow and the next day. Be willing to love for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do you part. That's what God has called us. This is the highest, once again, level of love that God desires for us to continually pour out upon our wives. So I have a couple of questions for us husbands. When was the last time you selflessly did something for your wife without expecting anything in return? When was the last time that we told our wives we love them and it's not only at 10:30 at night? Some of you got that, some of you didn't. Married couples know what I'm talking about. That's okay. It's okay. When was the last time that we actually just stopped and said thank you to our spouse for caring for us the way that they do, supporting us the way that they do, or the way that they care for the home? Like, when was the last time that maybe, you know, you've worked a long day, and especially if you got a young family, when was the last time that maybe you got home and you know, we love our kids, but man, our kids just don't act right. And so you come home and they're just running wild, and you just look at your wife and you just see this, like, this look on their face like, I'm gonna kill them. Like, when was the last time we said, you know what, just go take a bath. I got this. I'll wash the dishes. I'll make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They'll be okay. Well, let me take care of this, and you just go relax. When was the last time we wrote a little note that said, I love you, thinking of you? As I can remember, buying flowers almost every other week and talking on the phone for hours and hours, three times, you know, 3 hours at a time. Now it's like, Marisa's like, why are you in such a hurry to get off the phone? It's like, I gotta get to work. It's like, and then when there's a silence, I know I messed up. When was the last time that we sacrificially and with the heart of gratitude really showed appreciation that we cherish our wives? When was the last time that we have taken our wives away for a weekend or even just a date night?
Oh, come on, Pastor. You know, once we get married, you don't have to date anymore.
Wrong attitude. Wrong view. That will kill romance quickly. Yes, you're supposed to date her. Yes, you're supposed to still woo her. Yes, you're still supposed to be romantic. Dance with your wife. Do what you need to do. Whatever you did to say I do, we should never stop doing. And again, husbands, I'm not here. This is a message for me as well. I am not preaching at you. This is our responsibility as husbands. The mystery of marriage. Notice this. How can two imperfect people living under the same roof, who have different personalities, who are sinful by nature, who are self-centered, who don't like being told what to do, yet how is it that they can live in a home in love, harmony, and peace? I don't know how couples do it who don't know Jesus. But I'm so thankful that I have Jesus. And I believe we can answer this question of how it's possible. And I want you to just notice the answer for us and how both husband and wife can fulfill their role. It's found in verse 21. Notice what it says. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. What does that mean? It means that when we both, as husband and wife, are willing to submit to God first, when we are filled with His Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit that helps us to fulfill our roles. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches us how to love each other. And I want to just show you this example through this picture. This is a pretty amazing picture of sacrificial love. The bird on top is, of course, what I would imagine the husband. Wings spread out as the rain comes down, sacrificing himself for the sake of his wife, who is underneath. And notice the position of his head. And notice her position, leaning in, enjoying the covering, enjoying the safety and the security and the protection that the husband provides. And notice, not only is she satisfied and comforted, but she's now having her wings around the kids, and the kids are clueless, right? What's happening? Sacrificial love. It is a love that's willing to set aside your own needs to seek after the highest good of another. And husbands, if I can give you a piece of advice, I'm not an expert, but I do have 35 years under my belt. And I've never seen Marisa question me and my leadership. She's never had a problem submitting when she sees a few things. Number one, I'm in the Word. Number two, I'm praying with her. I'm seeking and I'm asking what your opinion and what your thoughts are on this, and what can we do here, and what do you think we should do? I'm giving her input and being able to get as much as I can, because I don't have all the answers. And when we pray through things, she is more willing to submit when she knows that I am seeking God. You want your wife to submit? Get into the Word. Love Jesus first. Love your family. Be not only the provider, the protector, but the spiritual leader. Be the one leading your family here to church. In the Word, do devotions. Pray. Be an encourager. Be a servant leader, not a dictator. When you do these things, husbands, you will love and you won't hold back. You will love selflessly and sacrificially. Wives, when you do this, when you submit to God first, you will then submit to your husband as unto the Lord, and both of your roles will be fulfilled. And Lord willing, we will have happily married couples instead of, well, Pastor, here's the old lady. Don't be married because of a piece of paper. Remember, we didn't make a contract. We made a covenant. So men, My encouragement to us today is if these things are not happening, let's get busy and let's start doing what God has called us to do. Because one day we will need to stand before God and present our family to the Lord in the same way that Jesus wants to present his church holy and blameless. It is our responsibility to present our family, our bride, before the Lord, holy and blameless as well. And so I hope and pray that God would give us the ability and the strength to do it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Worship team, come forward. Father, I want to thank you so much for this time, and I want to thank you for your word once again that is helping us and guiding us and giving us the ability to love our wives the way that Christ loved the church. I thank you for not only giving us an example, but I thank you, Lord, that you're our helper. And I pray that none of us in this room, God, would allow our pride to keep us from being that spiritual leader that we need to be. Whatever the struggle may be, God, you have the ability to help all of us. So would you please come and pour out your spirit upon the men of this church. For those who are married and even for those who are not, may they have a clearer picture of what you are calling them to be as future husbands. And so we all can learn. And I just pray that from this day forward, that we as husbands and wives would work together as a team to help accomplish each role. So Lord, I thank you for bringing our spouses to us. I'm so thankful for your word, because even in your word it says that when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. So thank you for blessing us with our spouses. May we care for them, love them. May we look after their best interests, both physically and spiritually. And so, Lord, we need your help to do this. And I ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I want to, before we close in a song of worship, I just want to make one last comment, and that is this. When we, as a church, we see many families, we see ranges from newlyweds to some who are celebrating 60 years of marriage. It's awesome. I remember, I think it was Skip Heitzig who said, he asked a couple who had been married for 60 plus years, he asked the wife, in those 60 years, have you ever thought about divorce? And she said, divorce, no. Murder, yes. And so there's seasons. Again, marriage is a beautiful thing, but it's work. And in the process of life, things happen. And I can testify, Marisa and I can tell you that, you know, in our own marriage, we're not perfect. There was a season where we needed help. And if you're in that season where you need help, do not allow your pride to keep you from getting the help that you need. Because if I would have allowed my pride to do that, I'm pretty sure I would not be standing here telling you that I have 35 plus years of marriage. God is a restorer of all things. And whatever problems your marriages are having, he has the solution. He has the ability to fix it. So don't ever allow your pride to keep you from making a phone call and saying, can we meet? The church is open. This is why we're here. We're here to help one another learn how to be a family. And so if this is you, don't allow your pride to keep you from getting the help. God is good, and he loves each and every one of you. And no matter what stage that your marriage is in right now, he wants to improve it even more. So let's lean on him. Let's look to his word to help mold and shape us into the roles that he's called us to fulfill. Can I get an amen? God bless you guys.